From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. Jokowi's six local governments continued vigil against forest fires. Minister declares formation of team to review Indonesia's ITE law. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded local governments to remain vigilant in facing the threat of forest and land fires, even as the transition to the dry season is projected in May 2021. As quoted by Antara News Agency at the 2021 National Coordination Meeting for Forest and Land Fire Control at the State Palace, Jakarta, Monday, the head of state showed a detailed and mature national planning for the prevention of forest and land fires. Furthermore, Jokowi drew attention to several areas, such as in Riau and West Kalimantan, which were hit by forest and land fires since the end of January 2021. He also noted, despite facing floods and landslides in several areas, the government must not become less vigilant in facing the threat of forest and land fires. Quoting a report from the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, La Niña phenomenon is forecast to occur until the first semester of 2021. A transition from rainy to the dry season will occur in May 2021. Indonesia's top security minister, Mahfud MD, announced the formation of an interministerial team to review the country's electronic information and transactions, or ITE law, to follow up on President Joko Widodo's request to revise the law. The team members will work for a period of 3 months until May 22, 2021, to decide whether the ITE law needs to be revised. It was said by Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, at a virtual press conference in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. He pointed out the team members recruited from his ministry, the Communication and Informatics Ministry, and Ministry of Law and Human Rights will review the existing laws chapters that can give rise to various interpretations. He also affirmed reviewing or revising the ITE law, whose articles, according to several elements in the society at large, can lead to multiple interpretations, is necessary. He also said the joint team comprises a steering team and organizing team. The Ministry of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration has claimed the number of COVID-19-free villages has increased since the government implemented micro-scale social restrictions, or PPKM, at the village level. Viewed from the development of village zoning, the number of villages in the green zone rose to more than 7,000 on February 21, 2021, from about 6,000 on February 18. It was stated by the Acting Director General of Rural Development at the Ministry of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Roshidah Rahmawati, in a press conference organized by the COVID-19 Response Task Force at the BNPB building on Monday, as reported by Antara News Agency. She also said the number of green zones or areas with a low risk of COVID-19 transmission has continued to increase following the application of micro-scale social restrictions that are aimed at limiting public activities to stem the spread of infections. She noted despite restrictions on social activity in zones that have many cases, the number of COVID-19 cases has still reached around 36,000. Governmental spokesperson Dr. Reisa Broto Asmoro echoed the government's readiness in terms of having taken requisite precautionary measures against the emergence of unexpected serious risks after the COVID-19 vaccination. Asmoro stated in a virtual press statement in Jakarta on Monday, "Vaccination is safe. Even if unexpected serious risks occur, the government is ready with precautionary measures to handle the situation." As quoted by Antara News Agency, the spokesperson revealed that every health service already entails the presence of a person in charge or a contact person always at the observation table at every vaccination post. Moreover, the vaccination card always bears the name and details of the contact person for the health worker. Furthermore, Asmoro reminded the public to always exercise discipline in adhering to health protocols and supporting the 3T, testing, tracing, treatment measures after vaccination, as the COVID-19 pandemic has not ended. Now we move to the international news. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador on Monday urged a Canadian mining company in the country to pay outstanding taxes, saying it was hiding behind the threat of international litigation to shirk its obligations. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, questioned at a news conference about the tax burden on mining firms in Mexico, López Obrador said there were Canadian companies that met all their fiscal obligations. He appeared to be referring to First Majestic Silver Corp, which operates the San Dimas Silver and Gold Mine in Tayoltita, one of its three working mines in Mexico. Reuters reported this month that the government planned to seek 11 billion pesos, or $534 million, from First Majestic in delinquent taxes. First Majestic declined to comment on López Obrador's remarks. The United States on Monday crossed the staggering milestone of 500,000 COVID-19 deaths just over a year since the coronavirus pandemic claimed its first known victim in Santa Clara County, California. As reported by Reuters.com on Monday, in a proclamation honoring the dead, U.S. President Joe Biden ordered the U.S. flag to be flown at half-staff on public buildings and grounds until sunset on February 26. Biden said in the proclamation that on this solemn occasion, the government reflects on their loss, on their loved ones left behind. "The U.S., as a nation, must remember them so people can begin to heal, to unite and find purpose as one nation to defeat this pandemic." Bells tolled at the National Cathedral in Washington to honor the lives lost. The country had recorded more than 28 million COVID-19 cases and about 500,000 lives lost as of Monday afternoon, according to a Reuters tally of public health data, although daily cases and hospitalizations have fallen to the lowest level since before the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. We end the news with hundreds of thousands of protesters that have taken to the streets of Myanmar in one of the largest demonstrations yet against the country's military coup. Businesses close as employees join a general strike, despite a military statement that said protesters were risking their lives by turning out. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, the statement prompted fears the protests could turn violent, but they remained peaceful throughout Monday. Myanmar has seen weeks of protests following the coup on February 1st. Military leaders overthrew Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government and have placed her under house arrest, charging her with possessing illegal walkie-talkies and violating the country's natural disaster law. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Currently, people in several regions across Indonesia are busy with floods and landslides. Extreme high rainfall is the main cause of this disaster. However, amid his concern over this hydrometeorological disaster, President Joko Widodo reminded the public to be aware of forests and land fires due to the dry season. While chairing a limited meeting to anticipate forests and land fires at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday, he asked regional heads to have comprehensive preparation to anticipate forest and land fires. President Joko Widodo's appeal is felt to be appropriate in time. Even though it is currently in the rainy season, the transition period to the dry season is expected to start in May. Especially now, the forest fires have occurred in several regions. President Joko Widodo said in Riau, for example, 29 incidents were recorded, while in West Kalimantan there had been 52 incidents of forest and land fires. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG predicts that most regions in Indonesia will experience a dry season in August. It is conceivable that there might be more forest and land fires during the dry season if anticipatory steps are not well prepared. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also reminded that over the last 5 years, forest and land fires in Indonesia were not included in the discussion at the summit of the members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. He emphasized that Indonesia should not be embarrassed. At the ASEAN meeting, there were several countries discussing the matter of forest and land fires. Indeed, the nation's pride will be disturbed if neighboring countries complain about forest fire as if Indonesia could not handle it alone. However,
A more important issue is to maintain the ecosystem that support the survival of flora and fauna, especially humans. Economic losses due to the forest fires can reach trillions of rupiah. However, an even greater loss is the extinction of biodiversity that may not even have been discovered by humans. Thereby, it is the duty of every Indonesian to protect the environment so that there are no more forest land and fires. That was commentary. I'll begin today in history on February 23, 1923, when Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan dies. Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan is a national hero who is the founder of the second largest Islamic organization in Indonesia called Muhammadiyah. In 1912, Ahmad Dahlan founded Muhammadiyah to carry out the ideals of Islamic reform in the archipelago. Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan died on February 23, 1923. He was buried in his hometown of Yogyakarta. Moving on to February 23, 1941, plutonium identified and produced for the first time. Plutonium is a chemical element in the periodic table that has the symbol Pu and atomic number 94. It is a rare transuranium radioactive element and is an actinide metal with a silvery white appearance. Plutonium identification was successfully carried out by a team led by Dr. Glenn Seaborg. This element was identified chemically by firing uranium with deuteron on February 23, 1941. Last information on February 23, 1947, the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO, was founded. The International Organization for Standardization, or abbreviated as ISO, is an international standard-setting body consisting of representatives from the national standardization bodies of each member country. Founded on February 23, 1947, ISO set world industrial and commercial standards. ISO is an international non-profit organization originally formed to create and introduce international standardization for anything. The standards we are familiar with include the standards types of photographic film, the size of the telephone card, the bank ATM card, the size and thickness of the paper, and others. In establishing such a standard, they invited representatives of their members from 130 countries to sit on the technical committee, subcommittees, and working groups. That was Today in History.
Saat ku sendiri, ku lihat foto dan video bersamamu yang telah lama ku simpan. Hancur hati ini melihat semua gambar diri yang tak bisa ku ulang kembali. Ku ingin saat ini engkau ada di sini, tertawa bersamaku seperti dulu lagi. Walau hanya sebentar, Tuhan tolong kabulkanlah. Bukannya diri ini tak terima kenyataan, hati ini hanya rindu. Segala cara telah ku coba agar aku bisa tanpa dirimu. Bersamamu, ku ingin saat ini engkau ada di sini, tertawa bersamaku seperti dulu lagi, walau hanya sebentar.
Harus siap, belajar ya. Dan selalu mengucap syukur apa yang Tuhan kasih di kakak.
Yeah. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia. Voice of
Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Iran, Roni P. Yuliantoro, at the Third Technology Investment Meeting, or TIM 2021, which took place in Tehran, Iran, said that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought about impact on all sectors of life, in which all countries have to work hard to meet needs of medicine, medical devices and vaccine, strengthening of the national health system, and opening of new investment opportunities in the fields of biotechnology, telemedicine and pharmaceuticals. As quoted on the kemlu.go.id page, currently Indonesia has carried out economic reforms by focusing on the development of national health resilience. As many other countries do, Indonesia also imports medical devices in addition to expanding domestic production capacity and supply of medical technology. Indonesia is a potential market and great opportunity for foreign investors, as well as a center in the Southeast Asian region, and has simplified business licensing procedures and incentive to promote the investment climate. Indonesia continues to collaborate and coordinate with Iran in the health sector, both between government and private sectors, and through the signing of the product supply agreement for a hemodialysis machine on February 2, 2021, between Arya Tep Virus Co. and Barakah Medica Nusantara. This shows that both countries are increasingly strengthening cooperation in the sector. The cooperation is expected to be carried out with other D8 member countries, especially the development of the health industry, research and development of human resources in the health sector. Furthermore, Ambassador Roni also remarked that the COVID-19 pandemic has also impacted on micro, small and medium enterprises, or MSMEs, which have a major share in economic development. But on one hand, there is acceleration in the growth of digital technology. The digital economy plays a vital role in economic recovery. thereby the entrepreneurs of MSMEs are required to be able to make good use of it, and this opportunity can be used to strengthen the digital economy cooperation. On the other hand, currently Indonesia has an e-commerce platform that has continued to develop over the last 5 years and has made Indonesia rank 5th in the world with around 2,208 startup companies after the US, India, UK, and Canada. On this occasion, Ambassador Roni conveyed Indonesia's readiness to collaborate with the 8 countries in the digital economy. The TIM 2021 is a side event at the D8 Technology Transfer and Exchange Network, or D8 TTEN, which was attended by around 40 investors from 21 countries and 20 Iranian startups, of which 30% are engaged in the health sector. The meeting, which was divided into 5 sessions, was held virtually for 2 days. Meanwhile, the D8 group consists of 8 Islamic developing countries, namely Indonesia, Iran, Turkey, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Egypt, and Nigeria.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني
رانج جنشوي بيتاي كوجو يفانشي سينسين قوانجوان بندو فييان دا چوانبو ودا كوجو باوهوني ودا كوجو باوهو
Evite la difusión del coronavirus cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Aku jatuh cinta untuk kesekian kali. Baru kali ini ku rasakan
cinta sesungguhnya tak seperti dulu. Pengorbanan
cinta bukan sekedar kata kata indah, cinta bukan sekedar bayang-bayang para dua. Samudera cinta dari palu
cuil penyesalan
cinta bukan.
semua karunia sang pencipta.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in this edition of Indonesian Wonder, this is Rahma. I will introduce you to Nasi Sek, or in English means set rice. When you have a culinary tour in Indonesia, West Sumatra is a must-visit destination. This province is a culinary paradise. One of the areas in West Sumatra where you can taste the local food is Pariaman. Besides fish head curry, the food you must taste in Pariaman is set rice. It is called set rice because it was sold at the price of set rupiah in Padang language, which in Indonesian means 100 rupiah. Listener, nasi sek is rice wrapped in banana leaves. At a glance, there is nothing special about the fish-sized rice. But when it comes to the taste, this food is so delicious. Set rice is always wrapped in banana leaves. This what makes the aroma so distinctive. According to the Pariaman tradition, set rice used to be sold specifically for fishermen who went to the sea. But now, anyone can enjoy it. Set rice is always served with side dishes and vegetables. It is served along with the other special menu, such as sea fish curry, grilled fish, dried anchovies chili, sambal lado chili paste, and jengkol stinky bean curry. It is more delicious with complementary dishes, such as sala bule or round sala, sala lawa or fish sala, and squid sala, which are the most suitable complements to set rice. Sala in the local language means fried. In some restaurants, the rice is also served with banana flour chili sauce, banana flour white curry, and banana curry, which are also mouth-watering. Said rice is usually sold along the road near the beach in Pariaman City, West Sumatra. People usually eat said rice with hands while sitting on the floor in the hut or gazebo. The price of the typical food of Pariaman is relatively cheap. The price of one pack of said rice is an average of 2,000 rupiah to 3,000 rupiah, excluding side dishes. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is menawarkan bantuan, or in English, offering help. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on menawarkan bantuan, which means offering help. This conversation took place between Kevin and Boris. Boris is Kevin's new neighbor. He's moving into his house. Kevin offers to help.
Butuh bantuan?
Tidak usah, terima kasih. Saya bisa sendiri.
After listening to the conversation earlier, I will provide phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme. I will say phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme twice, and you can repeat after me. Butuh bantuan, which means need help. Tidak usah, which means no need. Saya bisa sendiri, which means I can do it by myself. In the conversation, you heard Kevin offers help, butuh bantuan, which means need help. In Indonesian, this expression is used to offer help to others. It is only used in conversations. If you want to say it in a full sentence, you can say, apakah Anda butuh bantuan? Apakah Anda butuh bantuan? Which means, do you need help? Further example. In addition to the expression butuh bantuan, which means need help, to offer help, you can use other expressions. Let's listen to the phrases that offers assistance to other according to the status or condition of the other person. To people who are respected and who are not known, example, boleh saya bantu pak, which means, can I help you sir? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means, is there something I can help? To friend and familiar people, for example, perlu bantuan, which means need help. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Butuh bantuan?
Tidak usah, terima kasih. Saya bisa sendiri.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nika Kusumawati. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
ku punya niat yang baik. Coba ku ungkapkan padamu, berharap kamu kan menjadi rencana besar di hidupku. Tapi kau bilang pergi sana, kamu tak mau melihat diri ini selamanya. Awas nanti jatuh cinta, cinta kepada diriku. Jangan-jangan ku jodohmu, kamu terlalu membenci, membenci diriku ini. Awas nanti jatuh cinta padaku. Yang baik telah ku ungkapkan padamu, kau tetap bilang pergi sana, kamu tak mau melihat diri ini selamanya. Cinta, cinta kepada diriku. Jangan-jangan ku jodohmu, kamu terlalu membenci, membenci diriku ini. Awas nanti jatuh cinta padaku. Cinta, cinta kepada diriku. Jangan-jangan ku jodohmu, kamu terlalu membenci, membenci diriku ini. Awas nanti jatuh cinta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, this is Rahma. I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Mahligai Cinta by Asmidar Darwis and Rustam Raschani. Created by Yan Junaid, this song comprises verses of pantun or rhyming poetry, which is sung alternately and repeatedly. The lyrics of this song tells the love story of a couple. The song Mahligai Cinta was included in an album Mahligai Cinta, which was released in 1962. Asmidar Darwis is a singer from West Sumatra who is popular as a Malay singer. Meanwhile, Rustam Rascani is more popular as a singer of gamat rhythmic songs, a music genre resulting from the acculturation of Minang or Malay vocal and the Western or Portuguese musical instruments. Well, listener, here is the song Mahligai Cinta by Asmidar Darwis and Rustam Rascani. Happy listening.
Ya adik kan
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.
Thank you.